open the minds and the hearts of all of us who are created in your image, O God, that we might embrace the truths you have for us this day. Amen. As we reflect on the scripture for today, did you catch that Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you"? It sort of makes me think about a discouraging word, though, that we hear from the writer of Ecclesiastes 1:3-9. Everything is meaningless. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. What has will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is everything meaningless? Is life an endless circle, a constant routine that never seems to end? Nothing new? It also makes me think of how many people around us spend their days fearful, discouraged perspectives. I wonder what it might look like if we tried a new perspective. 1 John 4:18 reminds us that true, perfect love casts out fear. In his book, When Love Meets Fear, David Rico points out that our true self is where our fearlessness lives. Love gives us access to the unconditional being that is our endless potential. In today's lesson, Judas has just gone out of the room to betray Jesus. So, Jesus turns to his disciples and is about to share some of the last moments with them prior to his crucifixion. And his final instruction was what? That is a new commandment, to love one another. As I have loved you. So picture this, true, perfect source of love, Jesus says to them and to us, because I am loving you, I am calling you to a spiritual destiny to release the riches of unconditional, universal love, healing, and wisdom. You can love one another and yourselves because I am loving you. That's not what it says in the Bible. That's my little bit of an interpretation with the help of David Rico. So this is still a head scratcher for the disciples, because they know that love is the oldest commandment there is. It's at the heart of humankind. We can find evidence of this in the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. Leviticus 19:18 says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Other faith traditions, Mormonism, Muslims, Jehovah's Witness, Buddhists, and even atheists teach love. So there's nothing new about it. So the question we ask ourselves today, how can we make love new again? I've always liked new stuff. New toys, new cars, new clothes, new paint on the wall, a new arrangement of furniture in a room. I get bored with the same old thing. And so when I got bored at school, or during the weekends, or the long summer vacation days, I'd look for ways to liven things up. If it was school tasks, And I'm thinking of my seventh grade shop class. We had to make a wooden duck shaped like a note holder. So I got the instructions from the teacher and what it was meant to look like, and that we were supposed to follow those instructions. Well, I didn't want my duck to look like everybody else's duck. So I made my own pattern. Teacher didn't appreciate it very much. And so I received a D for the project. D for duck, I guess. I don't know. We also had to make a biscuit cutter out of some sheet metal. Yep, I didn't follow those prescribed directions either. But you could cut a mean biscuit with it. Mom will tell you. During the long days of summer, I liked to liven up the neighborhood. Could I help it if I liked the sound of breaking Coke bottles on the sidewalk? Could I help it that I liked the beautiful yellow and orange flames as they burned the tall dead weeds in the alley? I still do. Since then, I've had to look for new ways to achieve that excitement. As humans, we go to great extremes to experience something new or to create at least a sense of excitement so that life won't seem so long, so predictable, and routine. So we crave new things, and we're willing to break the rules to get it. Even so, I really loved the neighbors in the hood. Even if they did make me clean up the glass and quit playing with matches and call my parents to tattle, I really missed them, either when they moved away or passed away. And I think they loved me too. I can see the same craving for newness happen in people's pursuit of religion. Whereas some folks in the church like the same old routines, some don't. They want to run from one church to another, one denomination to another, in search of seemingly a new and exciting feeling. New music, new faces, new liturgies, new buildings. It's a constant search for a feeling or the impression that, hey, this place is happening. And in an attempt to grow numerically, they do their best to attract those who are seeking a feeling of having something new and active. I am so grateful that the people of the Palms are committed to love one another, not based on a feeling, but based on the words of Jesus, to love unconditionally, sacrificially, understandingly, forgivingly, and to demonstrate that love to all of God's kingdom. I think that many congregations and pastors feel a great sense of urgency to be up with the newest trends in their ministries, the most current worship ideas, the most catchy buzzwords like Bible believer, fellowshipping in the Spirit, I'm not perfect, just forgiven, on fire for God. We're O and A. I'm a progressive Christian. In and of themselves, these phrases are okay, I suppose, and yet I'm not sure they're demonstrative of the love that Jesus calls us to share with the world. I can believe the Bible all day long, but what am I doing? What is the new thing that I'm doing in the world with what I believe that will be life-giving? If I'm not perfect, just forgiven. How am I translating that forgiveness into love within the world? In our O-N-A-ness, are we open and affirming to all? Are we progressive enough to fully and completely love as Jesus does and not expect anything in return? Love is not a feeling. It is not self-centered. It is a sacrificial gift. Jesus says, "Take my love for you and multiply it by loving each other." I am so grateful that because God is still speaking, we could interpret today's scripture in this way. As the love of Jesus transforms you, be about transforming one another with love too. The kind of love that Jesus gave to people was completely different from how the people of his day even could comprehend. Jesus was willing to reach out to the marginalized, needy, broken, and questionable in society. The lepers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. In love, he forgave them and healed their diseases. In love, Jesus fed people. He stood up against the modern thought that these people were, well, far too gone. Lost causes. But Jesus showed a different kind of love as he washed feet. Jesus' version of love was a willingness to gift us with his all for the good of seemingly worthless people. Jesus demonstrated this unconditional love throughout his life, his death, his resurrection, so that we would know salvation. Some translations of the scripture say, "You must," or "You shall love each other." So, you know, just like those instructions in my seventh grade shop class, they make me want to do something with this "must do" verbiage and command. But if I think about it not so much as a command, but a natural and purposeful result of his love for me, my whole perspective changes and becomes new. It's different from my previous understanding of love. In my early days as a Christian, I was taught that I must do X, Y, and Z, or it's off to hell with me. This sort of teaching also taught me that there are just parts of me that God is not going to accept. But Jesus reached into my existence in the good times and in the darkest times of life and demonstrated an enduring, forgiving, transformational love. And so when I think about this scripture and understand that because Jesus is loving me moment by moment, day by day, unconditionally, my motivation has changed from the fear of hell into life-giving opportunity. If Jesus can be about loving me in every part of my being and becoming, I can and want to be loving you and you and you far beyond these walls, in your being and your becoming. So as I seek to answer today's question, how can we make love new again for my own journey? It helps me to be open to a thought shared by Joseph Campbell. He says, the part of us that wants to become is fearless. For far too long, I was afraid to unconditionally love all aspects of who God created me to be. To unconditionally forgive and have compassion in all areas of my life and in my becoming. If I can love myself as Jesus is loving me, that love gives me access to the unconditional becoming God intends. If I can't love myself, how am I going to begin to love others? Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says it this way, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. The writer of Lamentations puts it this way, because of God's great love, we are not consumed, for God's compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day I am afforded the opportunity to see people the way Jesus sees people. I'm challenged to stretch my theology and understanding from that of commands to that of compassion. If Christ could love me so completely, even in my sin, may I show mercy and grace to others the way God has. By loving others in this way, love has a way of coming back and helps us on our spiritual journeys. When I see that Jesus put his life on the line for me, it makes me want to say and to pray, Lord, help me to love others. Keep me patient and loving in my relationship with myself and others, that neither is tainted by neglect or strife. Renew my caring and compassion as a minister in community. Help me to focus on the souls that God has entrusted to me, that I may not fail to provide life-giving words and deeds that would encourage them on their spiritual journey to know God. May we be motivated by this one thing with every new day that God gives us. Because Jesus is loving us, let us be about loving each other. Amen. Amen.